We'll be chatting about this amazing film that has been produced and ready to be showcased this evening, Rhino Man. And it's a film by Global Conservation Corps, produced by Friendly Human. And in studio, I have Matt Liedenberg, who is the founder. This is your baby, Matt. And I just want to welcome all three of you in studio. I've got John in studio with us and Olad in studio with us. And Olad is a game ranger. I think you are the head of the game rangers.
Yes, you are the
boss here.
Yes.
Okay, so let's just put that out there. And we're going to be chatting to each and every one of you. And we're also going to be running a competition a little later. So if you want to WhatsApp your answers, or just we'll throw it out there. The first ones that come through get two tickets to watch the premiere of Rhino Man this evening. And that WhatsApp number is 083-5900-335. But let's get straight into it. And I'm going to kick off with you, Matt. Welcome in studio, and give us a little bit of a breakdown of who you are, where you come from, and where this all started.
Yeah, thank you so much. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. It is. It's 5 minutes past 12.
Wow, it's really official. Yeah. Live on air. So I'm Matt. I am South African, born and semi-raised. As a kid, grew up in Sabi, so just up the road here. And as a kid, had some amazing experiences with my mom and dad going to visit Kruger. One of my origin stories is when I used to go through the Kruger gates, Paul Kruger, Opapeni gate, we used to see rangers. That was one of the few times you'd ever see rangers. So when these guys would stand to attention and salute you. And I remember just having so much reverence for these amazing heroes. My life took a turn. Shipped off, deported to the US for 12 years, lived in 13 different states all over the place, but I always missed home. I missed being in the bush. I missed running around with my shoes off, seeing wildlife, being connected to nature. So I got an internship, volunteership at the Wildlife College, right next to the Kruger National Park, the Southern African Wildlife College. I think my starting salary was like 400 rand a month.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Nice, eh? But there was accommodation and food. And I got to meet Olat, actually, back in the day, I think 2010 or 11. 11.
Wow, that's a long time ago, hey?
Yeah. So Olat's one of my oldest friends, which is awesome. And I got the opportunity to work at the college for 6 years, where I got to work as a trainer, an instructor, which was most of my time, and I got to mentor under some of the most amazing ranger trainers who are featured in our film and are some of the pivotal cornerstones of Rhino Man. So I got to work under Ruben and Marianne de Kock, who were trainers at the college for a long time, and also under the late Mr. Martin Mtembu.
The great.
Mm. When Martin passed away in 2014, there was this huge void, this big gap. And I wanted to do something to honor his memory and his legacy, because he shaped who I was as a young man. He saved my life 3 times in the bush, twice from lions, once from a mamba. So this guy, I owed him my life 3 times over. And I wanted to do something with honoring his legacy. And Martin had this ability of connecting with young people, giving them hope, giving them a mission, giving them an outlet for their lives. And so starting up GCC, the Global Conservation Corps, was all about honoring Martin's legacy. And our first project was Rhino Man, which was 9 years ago. And it was a promise, a commitment to a couple of rangers I was training at the time in 2015 that were funded by the Jobs Fund. And they said, we want our story to be told. Rangers don't have a voice. No one really knows who we are around the world. There's no big movies about us. I had no experience in film or making documentaries. I just said, okay, let me try.
And what year was that?
2015. Yeah.
I mean, that was literally, I know that there was, in 2014, it was just the poaching of rhino was at its absolute worst.
Yeah.
So behind all of that, that was some obviously encouraged you to go forth with this project.
Absolutely. There are... And especially at the time, it was this unsung, this war that wasn't being told.
Yeah.
And rangers are pivotal, and without rangers there'd be no wildlife left. And no one really was understanding who these people were and what they were doing. Orlot will speak about this hopefully pretty soon, but rangers, they're not supposed to be seen by the public. You go for a safari, you go to Kruger, you don't see rangers, and so you don't really understand the true value that they provide. The film, the purpose of this film was really to give rangers a voice, to have them see themselves on the big screen, and for the world, not just South Africa, but for the entire world, to appreciate the huge, immense sacrifice that rangers make, and for us to be able to say thank you to these unbelievably dedicated individuals.
And just to stop you there for a second, this quote by Dr. Jane Goodwill sums it all up, hey? And it's this movie, Rhino Man, it highlights the immense debt we owe to rangers, the true heroes in our efforts to protect the world's wildlife. Now, that's what it's about.
Yeah, Jane succinctly put that together for a review of the film, which really meant a lot. I don't want to take up all the time on the air here, but what I will say, sort of, so the movie got kicked off. We partnered with a US production crew out of Atlanta. I moved there for 3 years, and we tried. We kept saying, oh, Rhino Man's coming in 2016, coming 2017, coming 2018, and we just could not get it across the finish line.
Was it the funding? Was the funding also an issue for you guys?
Yeah, funding, and then leadership, just vision around where this film needed to go. Because we had partnered with a production company, some of the control and the ability to make hard decisions left my hands and was co-shared with this production company. And I think there's just something like, if you don't spend enough time with the guys on the front lines, you don't understand the urgency and how important this mission and message is. And there was a lack of urgency in the States to get this across the finish line, until I met the man on the right over here of me, John Jerko II, who stepped in as our lead director. And I mean, it's a hell of a journey to get to where we are now, but that really is, I pushed as far as I could with my very limited skills, experience, and our journeys, we crossed paths, and next thing you know, Rhino Man had sort of been pulled off a hard drive. It was, in a way, left to die there, and John breathed life back into it over the last 6 years or so. And
so the baton was passed on.
Yeah.
And that's where you came in, John. So how would you say that from picking up where it was literally dying out to taking it forward?
Yeah, thank you. I mean, it's just kind of a strange story of circumstances. I mean, I was visiting Atlanta thinking about moving there, and I saw the original trailer that they put together, and it just seemed like, you know, these guys were doing some really amazing, interesting things. I'd never been to Africa, didn't really know much about the rhino poaching situation, but eventually, after kind of knocking on their door for about a year, I finally ended up getting a job there, working there, and then that's when Matt and I connected and talked about, you know, where the project is and how can we move it forward. And I think from early on, we just sat down and we were like, from my background's all filmmaking, so I lived in LA for a while. I got into filmmaking through screenwriting, so I'm always just interested in story and story development. And I think what I recognized, that there was sort of a lack of story arc in the film and main characters. There were all these amazing vignettes about rangers and rhinos, but not really a through line. So Matt and I think Matt cooked some lasagna one night, one of the first nights we were hanging out, and we just got some index cards and we're like, all right, well, what do we have that we want to keep and who are the people we want to focus on? And that was really when we chose, you know, Anton Mzimba and Ruben de Kock and their two storylines to interweave. So, yeah, from there we raised some money and went to South Africa for another shoot in 2018, and this was my first time. And I mean, it was amazing in all the ways you would think it would be, in terms of like seeing the wildlife for the first time, going out on some game drives. I mean, Matt had spent so much time here, he had all these amazing relationships, so it was like coming home and getting to, like, you know, meet all his friends and everything. But when we went out there, you know, we shot a whole selection with Ruben and Marion de Kock at the Wildlife College. And then we spent about a week with Anton Mzimba and Orlot and the whole gang at the Timbavati. And I think what really stuck with me after that trip was the human aspect of it and the dedication and passion that the Rangers have and that the Decocks have for the training. And so I think it just reinforced this idea of focusing on this as a human story and really getting deep into the relationships of these people and their stories and story arcs. And so that's really what we focused on. We wanted it to be a little different than a lot of conservation films, which sometimes focus on either more journalistic and focus on the problem as a whole or show the wildlife. But we really wanted to show this human story because I think if you see this film and connect with these people and what they're doing, it doesn't matter if you care about conservation or not going into it, you're going to be connected to this world that they're a part of and this brotherhood and sisterhood between the conservationists and this, you know, undying passion for their work. And I think that's just inspiring as, you know, someone that wants to do something in the world to connect to that energy. So yeah, we just kind of went from there and we thought it would be, you know, 6 months or so of putting it together and creating this next chapter of the film, but it took a lot longer than we thought. That was 2018.
I was going to say 2018, and then where we are now. So it was back and forth. Did you come back a lot?
Well,
yourself.
So what we did, we had that shoot. We put together a rough cut, and we thought we were close to being done. We were just going to massage this cut a little bit more, and we did a screening in 2019 in Colorado for a big event that GCC put on there. And we had this great friend, Andrew Ackerman, who's an amazing filmmaker. He was the director of photography on Chasing Coral, which is a big film on Netflix. And he came up to us after the screening and said, "You guys have a really good film here, but I think it could be a great film. So maybe you should step back and think about how you can make this even better." And so I remember when like Matt came to me with a whiskey and he's like, "So what do you think about pushing this thing a little further?"
Sorry.
And yeah, I don't think either of us knew really what we were getting into. And so from there, you know, we decided to keep taking this on, and the production company at the time was like, "Let's either put this out now or you guys, you know, purchase this from us and do whatever you want." And so it led into this like long journey of trying to raise funds and struggling to do that for about a year. And then I think we went to the World Ranger Congress in 2019 and connected with some amazing rangers there, showed the rough cut, got
good
feedback.
Where was that held?
That was in Nepal.
In Nepal.
Yeah, Chitwan National Park, which is an amazing experience.
Wow.
And this was just before COVID, so we didn't even know COVID was coming. And so we got back, and we still hadn't had any of the funds. And basically, I just decided, I was like, you know what? I think I'm just going to go all in on this. So I wrote like a whole treatment of how we would redo this film, bought my own equipment, and basically put in my notice at the production company. And basically what happened was I left the production company and landed in South Africa, and the borders locked down and COVID started. So it sent us on this wild journey that's another chapter, another set of obstacles, but really got to spend tons of time with Orlots and the guys at the Timbavati, which was really, really amazing experience.
And I need to ask this question, and as heart sore as it is, how did you feel encountering your first poached rhino?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean,
because you obviously have to experience it to be able to fully immerse yourself in this production.
Absolutely.
And myself personally, I haven't been to either a dehorning or obviously. It's a sensitive issue or being around any poached rhino, but from what I've seen in terms of documentary or just a filming, it must be absolutely heart-wrenching.
Yeah, and I mean, Orlot's probably experienced this way more than any of us, so I could let him chime in, but just like briefly, I think I've only seen one carcass in person, and it was during COVID, and the poaching had gone down for a while. But I believe there was a rhino that was poached on another property that died on Timbavati's property, and that's where we were shooting most of the time. And I think the first thing you notice is the smell going up to it, and just, it's just really tragic. And maybe Orlot, if you want to jump in. I mean, you've had so many of these experiences.
Yeah. Welcome, Orlot. And, I was talking a few minutes off-air about the struggle that one must have emotionally, knowing that the risk that you put yourself and your family at for animals, and but at the same time, it's got to be something so special inside you to be able to come to terms with that and make that sacrifice, because this is a sacrifice, what you do every single day.
Yes, it is a huge sacrifice, because you sort of like decided that this is my life. So it's more like a family to us now. We more like connected, I mean, into this wildlife. So coming to the question that you have asked about seeing a poached rhino, it's heartbreaking. When you get into that situation, you just lose yourself, because now you've got a lot of questions that comes into your mind that you even fail to answer some of the questions. How did this happen? Because if you see the brutality that the guys are doing into those animals, I mean, it's something else. And we always out there, I mean, to look after those animals. And, you know, if something like that happens, you feel like you have lost your family member. Mm. And now you will imagine the pain that we're going through as rangers, because we feel like we have failed to deliver what we have promised ourselves, that this is what we're going to do. So it takes a lot of us, I mean, in terms of figuring out of what went wrong and where did we go wrong and how are we going to sort of like avoid such to happen, because you can't lose your family member every now and then. I mean, it's so heartbreaking. So
Olad, when did you start? What was your, you came into conservation or became a ranger, because you've been in this industry for many years now. And so how old were you when you started in this field?
I started in 2007. I can't remember how old am I by then.
No, I don't either for myself. It's okay.
Yeah, it's been a long journey. And you know, being a ranger, it's not something that you just wake up in the morning and say that, yeah, now I want to be a ranger. You've got to be chosen. You don't choose yourself to be a ranger. And is the reason why we have these challenges that we're facing now, because there are some, those who were not, you've got to be born a ranger to be a good ranger. There are some, those who were on different careers, and because it didn't work out, then they've turned to say that, okay, there is a gap here in field ranging, let us go and try. And, you know, some they're doing well, but don't get me wrong, some they in there, you know, with bad intentions. And hence you saw poaching gone up like crazy. It's because of that. We had people, those that we thought they are good rangers, but instead, you know, we just took poachers and put them into the system
without knowing, of course.
Yes. So, and the challenges became worse. Yeah. But in my years of experience, I think it's 15 now, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, you always look like you're in your teens with your baby face.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So what I've seen is that we were in a direction where we're losing good rangers. We're not creating good rangers because we had a stage where we couldn't, people felt like, you know, there is a boundary between them and the nature conservation. And now if you go out into schools and you ask kids when you grow up, what do you want to be? They will tell you that I want to be a lawyer, I want to be a doctor and all that. And of which people started losing interest in conservation. And hence we had these people, those that we thought they are rangers, but they were not. It's because of that. And luckily Matt came up with this project of getting the kids back into conservation, you know, because we want to get them right at the early age.
Yes,
so that
young
they
age.
Have that interest to say that when I grow up, I want to be like Olat, I want to be like the late Anton Mzimba, I want to be like Ruben de Kock. And, you know, that's kind of a future generation that we're talking about, because if I go, who is going to replace me? And if we didn't go that route, then obviously we're losing conservation badly to the hands of poachers. So Being a ranger, I mean, it's very, very devastating. But again, it's very interesting if you are born a ranger.
Well, it is definitely something that chooses you, and not something you choose in terms of a career. But I think the reward at the end of the day must be an absolutely amazing feeling. And all right, for you to be a part of this team and to be a part of this movie, this film, I think it's also, it honors you as well for what you are doing in this industry. So we applaud you for that, for continuing to stay where you are in the position that you are, and encouraging youngsters to definitely sit in that classroom, and when the teacher says, what do you want to be one day, is to say, I want to be a game ranger.
And no, thanks a lot. But I will take this credit and give it back to Matt, since Matt is the one, together with John, made the voice of the Rangers to be known today. Because a couple of years back before this, you know, only few that knew that there is Rangers behind the scenes. You know, people from abroad will visit Kruger and other private national reserves. They will see this wildlife, you know, they enjoy it, but without knowing that there is people sacrificing their lives, I mean, to keep those animals alive. Like John said, imagine if there were no rangers. I think it was Matt who said it. There will be nothing left now.
Absolutely.
But because there is good rangers who are going out every day, sacrificing their life for this, we're not doing it for our own.
Yeah.
But for the whole world and for the future generation to still experience what we're seeing even today. So nobody knew about us as rangers worldwide, and the challenges that we're facing, nobody knew about that. So luckily these guys came on board to show the life of a ranger.
Yes.
Rhino Man, it's all about the life of a ranger, the sacrifices that we make, the challenges that we're facing. And it is unfortunate and very fortunate at the same time. When they kick-started, I mean, this project, the late Anton Mzimba was part of this movie. So it more or less like tells exactly what we're facing on our daily basis as field rangers and what we go through. And luckily, they put everything together, which makes sense now. And I think, and I believe it will make sense to each and everyone out there, you know, watching this movie. Now they get to understand what those people behind the scenes, those that aren't seeing, what they're going through. But if you haven't watched this, you hear that they're talking about a field ranger, you'll be like, okay, then what? What is it, a field ranger? But now, if you have watched this movie, then you get to understand what we're going through as rangers, I mean, across the globe.
Yeah, you don't just drive the vehicle. There's more to it, hey? It's
not so
glamorous as what people that have not been not exposed to it think it is. It's a lot of hard work.
There is a lot going on,
yeah.
Being a field ranger. It's very demanding, and we enjoy it because it's something that we have been chosen to do. It's something that you're not going to run away from it because you have been chosen to do, not that you chose yourself. If you have chosen yourself to do it, you will most likely give up and say that, okay, no, this is not for me. But because you have been chosen, you get, you know, guidance from above to say that, okay, there is a danger here. Can you just try and avoid it by doing this? And that's the reason why we've been in this industry for years, and we're still going on, I mean, in protecting this wildlife.
And Olad, I'm sure that 15 years later, the pain that you feel from seeing a rhino then, already your first rhino being poached, to seeing one now, as in maybe a month ago, that pain is still the same for you?
It's exactly
still
the same.
Still the same.
Still the same.
The
losing,
heartache.
Losing the family member, like I said,
yeah.
it won't get any better.
Yeah.
Because you're trying your best to keep them. Trying whatever best way, I mean, possible to make sure that you don't lose your family member. And if such happens, it strikes very hard.
Of course.
It is very, very painful.
Well, I think it's absolutely amazing that this film has come to where it is now. And Matt, for you, this what is the next step in this journey for you? I mean, it's now being screened here, and is it being screened internationally?
Yeah, great question. Probably hand it over to John for the Rainerman rollout, and then I'd love to come back more from the non-profit side on what's our next
absolutely
focus. Yeah, over to you, John.
Yeah, I could fill you in on that. And yeah, I mean, Anton, who's featured heavily in the film, really inspired kind of the direction that GCC is taking now. So yeah, it'd be great to hear more about that. But in terms of the film rollout, like we said, it's been a 9-year project, which is pretty wild. So many crazy obstacles that have happened over the years that we've had to overcome. And we've just been so fortunate that we connected with people like Ruben and Marion de Kock at the Wildlife College, and then Anton and Orlat at the Timbavati. I mean, just listening to Anton or Orlat right here, it's like, you know, you can hear that passion and that openness to share that passion with others. And I think that's just really infectious and has definitely been a big reason of why we were able to keep pushing during this time, because there's so many challenges that without that inspiration and people that are supporting it from the inside and approving of it, I don't think we would have made it this far. So we're finally near the finish line. It's, you know, to go back a little bit, we were, you know, we thought we finished this thing back in 2022 at that point, and I can still remember I was getting the final mixes of this film, and that's when the late Anton Mzimba was starting to get threats to his life. And, you know, it was a lot of up and downs in that story, and unfortunately, on July 26th of 2022, some hitmen came to his house and took him out in front of his family, and it just devastated all of us. We were all very close, especially Orlat. I mean, spent pretty much every day of his life with him for years. So that was just a moment where everyone had to step back and mourn and try to take care of everyone involved, the team, the family, And I know as a filmmaker and people close to this story, it was difficult to figure out how to carry this over the finish line, because you want to do the right thing and you want to honor Anton and everyone involved. And that led us down this crazy path where we actually ended up connecting with Prince William and his organization, United for Wildlife, who become big supporters and are part of the reason we're able to get it out in the way we are today. Mm-hmm. But he had had a conversation with Anton over a team's meeting and really made an impression. And when he was killed, you know, his team reached out pretty quickly about some podcasts we were doing. And that's when we're like, oh, we also did a film. So just built this relationship with him and his team, and they've been super amazing, supportive. We did an amazing screening with them last year in London, and he created an introduction that we're able to use for some of the festivals and special screenings, including tonight here in Hoedspruit. So finally, we've been doing the festival circuit, and we've played in, I don't know, close to 18 festivals, won some awards, won an African Conservation Award through the Game Rangers Association of Africa, which is really amazing. And now we're about to take the team on a premiere tour to kick off the film before we release it online. And so Orlat's coming with us, as well as Leda Mkabela, who's with the Black Mambas.
Yeah.
She's a cousin of Anton's, and he was a big mentor for her. And then Ruben and Marion de Kock, the ranger trainers, featured in the film. And we're going to go, starting here in Hoedspruit tonight, and then we'll go to New York City, Toronto in Canada, and Atlanta, Georgia, where a lot of the production team and people involved with GCC are based in the U.S. So it's going to be really exciting and an amazing way to get the rangers in front of people to speak directly from them, because I think that's really important that people hear it from their mouths and not interpreted through us. And this is all leading up to the release of the film online, and it'll be available here in South Africa and around the world on July 26th to honor Anton. And we're going to have a big activation to raise funds for the next generation of rangers through our social impact campaign. And that's everything from GCC's Future Rangers program with the youth to the Southern African Wildlife College and the training there, helping the Timbavati guys, and another partner, Thin Green Line Foundation, which supports rangers around the world. So yeah, we're really excited to get it out there, and you know, we've got a couple tickets to give away for tonight. But everyone, just stay tuned to our website, rainermanthemovie.org, and we'll keep you posted as this film comes out at the end of July, so you can rent it and share it with your friends and yeah, get the word out what the Rangers are doing on a huge international level.
Oh, that's absolutely amazing. Congratulations. Mm. I mean, I just think that perseverance is definitely what it takes. And they say patience is a virtue to much success in one's life. And if you do that and persevere, look where you can get to. And Matt, finally, from yourself, in terms of we were talking about charity, paying it forward. I mean, these things have to be funded. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, that's the reality that we live in.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely Rhinoman has been our most expensive project on many levels, but absolutely it's got the biggest reach. But from GCC side, the NGO that I run, the big push that we've been focused on, so John has been really running Rhinoman for the last 5 years. Just take a step back. In 2017, I was on a vehicle with Orlot and with the late Anton Mzimba and DP Nick. And I remember this conversation happened like it was yesterday. And essentially, the conversation came out where I asked Anton, I asked Orlot, like, do your kids ever come and see wildlife? Like, you live right next door. Do you ever get to do it? And, like, do they get to see what we see? And there was a huge, like,
silence.
Yeah, just a resounding like, no, hell no, like absolutely not. So we as an organization did preliminary surveys. We surveyed 540 kids along that border of Kruger, sort of central Kruger. We found that 4 out of 5 kids had never seen wildlife before. And to Orlot's point earlier, if there isn't that inherent love from a young age and children want to aspire to be a field ranger or a reserve manager or a pilot or a vet or something that is literally on their doorstep, they will want to go to the cities to chase down things that you might see on TV. And they are losing value for nature. And so our program is called the Future Rangers Program. And we take children from 5 years old all the way through their primary and their high school learning journey. We build, you know, those that empathy for nature at a young age. So we expose them to game drives. We have a project called Careers in Conservation. So it's a YouTube channel all in the local language of Xitsonga, where students are seeing local heroes with their local language from their local village that they can relate to. And then as our students move into high school, we have a very intensive after-school program where we partner with lots of the conservation orgs on the ground, Rhino Revolution, the Wildlife College. We've done some great work with Africa Foundation. I mean, I'm trying to, like, Timbavati Foundation, where we're all trying to work together, limited resources, and we're trying to identify the top performing local youth that want to fill Orlot's boots one day or want to be flying that plane one day. And so alongside our program, which we've put at the height, we had about 10,000 children that we were reaching every week with our team. What we've done now to track all of these children is we've built an app, a web platform called Vumba, which is essentially like a LinkedIn for conservation. So historically, when children get USAID, well, I don't want to name drop, and then they'll be like, we're not going to fund you. But
yeah.
When you get a big funder and they're like, we're going to send 1,000 children on a game drive.
You can get hold of those kids. You are staying in touch with those kids.
We can now, but before, you'd have these once-off interventions. So it's like, go to Kruger, cool. All these kids go, they see a rhino if they're lucky or something, they fall in love, and then you literally close that door again. They fall into the ether, and imagine, like, all right, here's like a carrot cake or a birthday cake. You can have a huge slice, and then you're never going to get that again. Those kids, I think it's traumatic. I think it's actually devastating to show them what this world looks like.
And
it's
then take 4Ks, it away.
And then you take it away. So what we've built is, with this technology, is where any nonprofit that's running a conservation program can now track individual students through their program. And as a collective, a student has a digital portfolio of evidence. So essentially a conservation LinkedIn, where they can come to Orlot one day when there's 1,000 applicants for one posting, and they can say, Orlot, I'm the one. Why? I can digitally prove my CV since I was 5 years old up until now, I'm 26, of all the things that I've done. Orlot touched on how bad corruption is. And if youth can prove over years that
the dedication,
the character, the virtues, that they are the deserving recipients of these very important pivotal careers in conservation, it's going to help funnel the best local youth emerging leaders into positions of power and decision making, and that's really where the future of conservation's got to go. There's local representation on all levels of the conservation spectrum. That's the answer. So yes, we've got our Future Rangers program every single week, getting these kids in this amazing pipeline and then using technology to track the impact of what we're having. So that's what's for the organization, what's after Rhinoman. And this all stemmed from the conversation I had with Orlot and with Anton. And to see a child's face when they see wildlife for the first time, or the second, or the third, or the tenth time, for me, that really feels like we are honoring what Mr. Mzimba would have wanted about connecting even his own kids to their national heritage.
Yeah. Well, that ended off with such a powerful note. I mean, I've actually got a lump in my throat, because I just... That's so what is so missing here at the end of the day is that connection between communities and wildlife, so that it complements each other at the end of the day. But I just want to say that, you know, having spoken to all three of you, I can just see the passion exuding from each and every one of you, and the true love that you have for what you do. And I really, from Hoedspruit FM, I want to just congratulate all three of you for this film. That's obviously there's so many more people involved, but just to say congratulations from behalf of us and Hoedspruit, and we only wish absolute success and opportunities and doors opening more and more for this plight of the rangers, not just the rangers, but for conservation here in our wonderful South Africa. But thank you so much for coming in studio, and I know that this evening screening is going to, it's going to blow people's minds away, and that's what you want to do. You want to leave that footprint at the end of the day, that there are animal footprints, but there's also human footprints. So thank you so much. We really appreciate it.